Soundproof Podcast.
You're listening to the Soundproof Podcast. I'm Miyuki Okiranta. Genevieve Lacey is a recorder player, acclaimed internationally as a virtuoso. Over the next few months, she'll be exploring the joys and fears of concert prep and performance in a series of audio self-portraits called Life in Music. Breathe and Listen glimpses into Genevieve's process as a concert artist and her longing to reach a place of transcendence where time feels malleable and everything falls away into sound.
Just breathe and listen, I tell myself. It's as simple as that. Just breathe and listen. It's that simple. And it is. I know that if I can get there's a place where all existence is pure breathing and listening. In that place, I'm immersed in sound. I'm weightless, strong and supple, part of something much older and bigger than I am. It's beautiful. My life is with music. Playing concerts is my job. Playing concerts means a lifetime of practice, and practice is a curious thing. I've spent decades in a room by myself, tracing patterns in sound. It can be an experience of keenest joy. Days and weeks, months, even years can disappear as I envelop myself in sound, diving ever deeper into memory, dreams, sensations and ideas. Practice also means drumming painstakingly precise movements into my body, rewiring neural pathways, teaching my ears to be more and more sensitive, whittling away at habits, butting into barriers, trying to make my instrument, myself, as finely tuned as possible. It's addictive. It's often indescribably peaceful. It can also be laced with terror. Not just the fear of a looming public deadline, but an even deeper horror of being shut out from the magical, liberatingly impersonal place of breathing and listening. Facing a new round of notes, at first Nothing sticks. Doggedly, I plod away, yet every day, it's as though I'm seeing the score for the first time. We're utterly alien to one another, the music and I. For a long stretch, practice can feel like walls of impenetrable notes, physical patterns to be pugnaciously drilled, music nowhere to be found. Out of the blue, something shifts. I've never been able to predict why or when, but miraculously, single notes become phrases. After the euphoria of being able to string together phrases and understand what they might be hinting at, I'm walloped by a second round of despair, more vicious than the first. The notes feel like a cage. They're someone else's impulses, which I have to reproduce. At best, I can spew them out, more or less in time and in tune, but they have no meaning or life in my body. By this time, my claustrophobia increases. My instruments are heavy, my hands are tired, my brain is erratic, and I don't trust my ears. I begin to contrive reasons to postpone or cancel. I fantasize about simply not showing. Sleep is elusive, and no matter how many kilometers I run each day, my mind won't let my body rest. There's something gladiatorial about a public concert. There are ghosts in every hall. Microphones. There to catch every misjudged moment, every overinflated sentiment, every cliche, every clumsy physical gesture, and every note that's chillingly out of tune. All I can think of is the grim fact of those strange machines holding for all eternity something that was meant to be ephemeral, and in this instance, might well be just plain bad. Perfection, a cold master, is easy enough to serve. It takes persistence and a particular type of belligerence. Aptitude and application help, but essentially, you set goals and you stubbornly chip away at them for as many years as it takes. Perfection in classical music is allied with technical control, with an even-toned beauty. You can learn to play faster, cleaner, more in tune, to teach your fingers to make huge leaps seem effortless, and to stretch the sweet spot in your instrument further and further. But I hate the idea that a score is purely a series of measurements to be faithfully reproduced, a circuit to train, endlessly improving your personal best. For me, a score contains something alive, elusive, dangerous. Trying to call that spirited creature into being from the hieroglyphics on the page is not about sheer repetition, scholarship, training and intellect, nor of patient diligence, though they all play their part. This, I suspect, is one of those pathways you have to find on your own. Or so it has been for me, stumbling along in the dark, hitting a barrier, turning back, trying again, getting lost and tired, trying again, finding an opening, resting, and trying again. So I wrestle with ghosts, and as the concert draws nearer, their presence is harder to avoid. Crouched side stage, wayward spirits gathering, my body riddled with adrenaline and fear. I long for it simply to be over. If the miracle comes, it always comes late. When I'm lucky, I get glimpses of it days or hours before a concert. Sometimes it doesn't come at all. But when it does, my instrument starts to breathe with me. It's warm and alive in my hands. I can bend phrases any which way. My brain stops blocking me. My senses and imagination take over. And I've reached that magical breathing, listening place. There's no divide between my instrument and me. No divide between the now united Genevieve recorder creature and the music. No divide between me and the other players, or between the music, the listeners, and us. This music is alive. We breathe and listen.
Breathe and Listen by Genevieve Lacey for her new Soundproof series, Life in Music. Find a full listing of the music in the piece on the Soundproof website. Next time, Genevieve describes the rite of passage that so many classically trained musicians face, the Vivaldi concertos.